It was just the first step, and yet markets rallied today on encouraging results from a coronavirus vaccine trial.
I think that people are following the twists and turns of the development of these various vaccines and drugs much more closely than they might have, you know, in normal times.
Plus, California's split reaction to the pandemic.
Ironically, even though Southern California has been much harder hit than Northern California, the restrictions have eased earlier in Southern California.
It's Monday, May 18th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. An investigation into last year's shooting at a Pensacola naval base has revealed that the Saudi aviation student who killed three people there had extensive ties to Al-Qaeda. The FBI says they learned about the connections from the gunman's iPhones, which showed he had been communicating with Al-Qaeda operatives in the Arabian Peninsula for years. Law enforcement officials said Apple offered no help accessing the gunman's locked phones, and the agency says that delayed their investigation. Apple said that it had responded within hours to the FBI's first request for help in December and provided information, quote, available to them, including iCloud backups, account information, and transactional data. U.S. Attorney General William Barr says he doesn't expect former President Barack Obama or Vice President Joe Biden to be investigated as part of his department's probe into the origins of the federal investigation into whether the 2016 Trump campaign colluded with Russia. In recent weeks, President Trump and his allies have accused Obama and Biden, the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, of spying on his 2016 election campaign. Uber is cutting another 3,000 jobs, less than 2 weeks after slashing 3,700. Together, the cuts make up about a quarter of Uber's workforce. The company says it is also closing 45 offices. With Americans under lockdown orders, Uber's ride business was down 80% in April, as compared to a year earlier. Meanwhile, the company is looking to expand its food delivery business. It's in talks to acquire rival Grubhub. Coming up after the break, we'll talk about California's split response to the coronavirus pandemic. California was one of the first states to report coronavirus cases, and it has been one of the hardest hit places in the country. But not every part of the state has been affected in the same way. Take the San Francisco Bay Area. It has about a quarter of the state's residents, but only 16% of its COVID-19 cases. Compare that with Los Angeles and the surrounding area. That region has had about three quarters of the state's infections. Wall Street Journal reporter Jim Carlton, based in San Francisco, says experts point to a couple of reasons why.
The San Francisco Bay Area went to lockdown about 3 to 4 days earlier than Southern California. That was one reason. And the second reason is that there's a much higher percentage in population of kind of lower income, at-risk people in Southern California, and in particular Los Angeles, that are susceptible to COVID-19. So I think that there was a real hunker down mode in Northern California, much more than Southern California.
Los Angeles is also likely to take a bigger economic hit from California's stay-at-home orders.
Ironically, even though Southern California has been much harder hit than Northern California, the restrictions have eased earlier in Southern California. And, you know, the question is why. And I'm told by the experts down there and up here is that the shutdown was hitting Los Angeles much harder because there's many, many more people that can't really make money sitting on their phone and, you know, laptop at home like we can up here in the Bay Area. This is a much more tech-centric area. There's Facebook, Google, Twitter, and it's pretty easy for those people to work from home. Los Angeles County is much more, there's many more people working service jobs, restaurants, you know, warehouses. It's harder for Los Angeles people to hunker down. And so the Bay Area is going to probably rebound faster than Los Angeles, where it's going to be harder for, you know, to get the economy going quite as quickly down there.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Jim Carlton reporting from San Francisco. Even a little bit of hope can bring a huge swing on the stock market these days. U.S. stocks rallied today, with the Dow soaring 911 points after drug maker Moderna reported promising results in the early stages of a trial for a coronavirus vaccine. Moderna found its potential vaccine induced immune responses in healthy volunteers. But it's still very early in the process, and there's a lot more testing to come. Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal pharmaceutical reporter Peter Loftus. So, Peter, can you tell us a little bit more about these results from Moderna?
What we found out was what Moderna is calling a positive early sign from this trial. So this is the first study that started in the U.S. of an experimental coronavirus vaccine. And initially, it involved about 45 people who were between the ages of 18 and 55, and they were healthy volunteers. And they were given shots of the vaccine. They were given one dose, and then about 4 weeks later, they were given a second dose. Just to be clear, this trial did not assess whether the vaccine actually prevented infection among the people who participated. What this trial did was it was mainly testing for safety, just to make sure that people given these doses didn't have some serious side effects. But secondly, it tested for immune response. And so this involved taking blood samples from people and checking to see whether these certain hallmarks of the body's immune system were present in these blood samples, whether antibody levels rose to a certain level in response to the vaccine and to a level that could offer protection down the line if these people actually did become exposed to the virus.
And why is the presence of antibodies important here? Connect those dots for us.
So they vaccinated these people in this relatively small study. They took blood samples from those people at various time points, and they analyzed the blood samples for certain kinds of antibodies, which are basically, you know, instruments of the immune system that can help fight a virus. And then they actually compared those levels of antibodies in the study subjects to what they've seen in the blood of people who've recovered from COVID-19, the disease that the new coronavirus causes. And they saw that the level of antibodies in the vaccine study subjects was either at or above the level that would be seen in people who've recovered from the virus. And so there's a bit of an assumption here in the sense that people suspect that if you've recovered from the disease, you're going to have immunity from it for some time period going forward. I don't think that's been fully proven out, but I think the theory is that then if you give someone a vaccine and then they produce a similar level of defenses, essentially, that a recovered person would get, that those people then, if they became exposed to the virus in the future, they would be protected from it. And so just to clarify that a little more, what the subsequent testing is going to do eventually within a few months is they're going to do studies where some people get the vaccine and some people don't get the vaccine. And then they're going to just let them live their lives, and they're going to keep track over time how many people get infected in both groups. And so there the question would be, do the people in the vaccine group have a lower rate of infection than the people who did not get vaccinated?
This is still a very early stage. Can you give us a sense of the timeline going forward?
Right. Well, I think it's at least several more months, possibly longer, of additional testing to make sure that the vaccine is safe and effective and could actually meet the threshold where the government says we can make these available on an emergency use basis. So I think the soonest that most people think that could happen would be this fall. And that would be, you know, that would actually be a pretty fast timetable by historical standards for vaccine development. And so it is possible that if certain things don't go smoothly, it would be longer than that.
Peter, markets really rallied on this news. What's behind that?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's a function of this is a new virus that we go, you know, going into this pandemic, we did not have a vaccine or a treatment for. And so far, the only response has been this unprecedented set of social distancing policies and shutdowns that have changed our way of life. And so the hope is that at some point we would have other tools that could slow or halt the pandemic in the form of effective treatments for people who do get infected, but also a vaccine to give to healthy people so that they don't get the disease in the first place. And so I think just because of the magnitude of the threat of the virus and what these tools so far have done to the economy and just our way of living, I think that people are following the twists and turns of the development of these various vaccines and drugs much more closely than they might have, you know, in normal times in the development of drugs and vaccines for other diseases.
That's Wall Street Journal pharmaceutical reporter Peter Loftus. Peter, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.